The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Welcome to Draft Talk 4.0, presented by Acme Packing Company. Get the plug in on the front end. I'm Justin Muscato. I'm joined here by Tyler Brooks. Say what's up, people, Tyler.
What's up? That's all I got today. It's
been a busy week. Look, cut straight to the chase. I understand. Okay, free agency, Green Bay Packers. The big fish is back, Aaron Rodgers. He's on a contract that amounts to $150 million over 3 years, but is actually 2 years, $124 million in new money. That's a lot. It has like two weird options at the back end of it that are not really options. It's just kind of like filler years. I don't really know how to analyze the Rodgers contract yet because I don't know what the heck is happening on those final 2 years.
Hey, man, he wants to let you know that he's not the highest. He doesn't want to be the highest paid quarterback, but there, here we are, $62 million a year over 2 years.
That was so weird where he came out and then was like, had McAfee yell at reporters and stuff and was like, it's not $50 million per. And then it ends up being what, $62 million per? Like, come on, get real. Like, that's the whole thing. People are arguing with the DeAndre Hopkins situation with his contract. Is everyone points to it and says like he got, what was it, like $27 million or something like that per? Because it's just added on at the end of a contract. So treating a whole contract versus new money is like, definitely agent speak, but like the new money stuff is like actually what matters because you were already signed up to play on a dollar value ahead of time.
Hey man, all that really matters is they got that cap number down by like what, 18 million? Like that's pretty sizable, and then it honestly helps them make some moves.
It is kind of funny. Like the NBA fans, there's so many. One, the NBA's salary rules in terms of like their actual cap hits, right, are a lot simpler than the NFL. What gets tricky in the NBA is like all the mid-level exceptions and like stuff like that, that you have to track and figure out like, wait, is this available or not? And like all that stuff.
Isn't there something called like a bird law, not bird law, bird tax, bird rights. There we go.
Bird rights. Yeah. It's, what is it? Like, yeah, you get to pay a player that you drafted originally more than someone else can offer because there's a max contract.
The reason I know about that, Paul George in Indiana, because I think the rumor was that just the Indianapolis ownership straight up could not afford to pay him a supermax or whatever. Oh my God.
And you could trade bird rights. But the thing that like NBA fans don't understand about the NFL, and honestly, it's a reasonable thought, is like, how can Aaron Rodgers sign for $62 million per year and you get cap space that doesn't make sense to them? And I'm like, you know what? It should be simpler.
You're right. It should
like,
be.
It is pretty dumb that it works out like this. But it's working in favor of our team right now. They're getting new contracts in. Rodgers is back. Davante Adams is tagged.
So he's technically back.
It sounds like he's not going to play on that contract. I had talked to people who are familiar with Davante Adams' camp. I'm being very careful about what I say right now.
Yes.
I sincerely don't believe that he will play on the tag. Like this has been an ongoing issue. He is asking for $30 million per year. He talked, or his agent talked to representatives of other teams that said that they would be paying that if he was willing to hit the open market. Obviously, the Packers held his rights, moved hell and high water to do so, to make sure that they could keep him on the tag number on their salary cap going into the new league year. I think there's a real chance he gets traded to the Raiders. I really do. And yeah. I know it seems far-fetched, and maybe we'll see how this kind of plays out with Baker Mayfield in Cleveland and how the dominoes fall with that, just because I think one of the big pitches with the Raiders is not only would they be willing to pay, right? They're a desperate team in the AFC West that is quickly seeing like nuclear power, right? Just pop
it's
up.
It's insane. Not even the division, but the conference too. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah. Every team has two pass rushers. Insane. Every team has an all-star quarterback. Like, you have to do something. The one caveat there is I don't think the Raiders have really committed to being like, we're going to fight this, right? They're still kind of teetering on that, like, are we rebuilding? We haven't given Carr a new contract, right? We haven't committed to him, anything like that. So this is my point. If the Baker stuff really does go south, right, in Cleveland, I don't think they're going to get Watson, right? If it goes south in Cleveland and Derek Carr is the guy that comes into Cleveland because they end up moving away from Baker because it seems like genuinely they don't like him. I know someone who's going to get a gig with the Browns pretty soon, and he's telling me, like, the word in Indianapolis with the coaching staff is, like, they're not huge fans of the guy. It was crazy. Did you see the Mort thing today?
They want an adult
at quarterback? Like, goodness.
Why would you leak that if you're going to try and trade him? That's what I don't understand. Dude, is it just frustration?
They are just tired of that guy.
Yeah, like, that's bad.
The one thing that's crazy to me about the Baker stuff, and obviously – players playing through pain is like, dude, I would never do it. Like, yeah. Like, let's be very clear about that on the front end. But it seems like Baker played through injury because he was very worried that Case Keenum could come in and basically replace his production.
And if you're worried about Case Keenum taking your job, that should be a red flag.
But it got to the point, multiple dads of Cleveland Browns skills players we're like, Baker's clearly hurt and he's hurting the team right now. What the hell is going on? Like, why is he still on the field? And I don't think those feelings have gone away. I think they've lost the locker room on that one. So
according to multiple dads,
and there were three Browns players who liked Baker's Instagram post yesterday about him, you know, loving Cleveland and, I don't want to be cryptic, but here's two pages of me being cryptic. One of them was Austin Hooper, who was just released. That's never a good sign when there's only two active players on your roster liking your quarterback's Instagram post about how much he loves the city. Like, I don't know where that's going to go. But to the Devontae point, if Carr does stay with the Raiders, I do think that there's a real chance that, like, the Raiders have the money. They have the assets to be able to get him. And then I don't know if Green Bay would be willing to pull the trigger, but Aaron Rodgers is management now, right? Yep. And it seems like he's not being irrational about this stuff. Like, when the Odell Beckham stuff happened, he was like, oh, yeah, we couldn't figure out, like, the money. Like, it just didn't make sense. So it's like he understands where they're at financially in terms of the cap. It's not the money. It's really the cap mechanic, right? Yeah.
For some teams, it is the money, but
Some teams it would be. But so I wonder if Rodgers would see, like, some sort of, like, cost benefit analysis and be like, we can get so many guys for the $21 million that Adams is on the cap right now. Plus we get a first round pick. I'm under contract for the next 3 years. Should we actually be looking at this trade? Obviously it has to go through him. Yeah. Has to go through the general manager, but from what I've heard from people, like, the Goot versus Adams stuff is real. dude. Like they are basically don't talk. So
I mean, we've been talking about this for probably a week now. I've emotionally coped by now that Julio Jones is released. I've literally just said, all right, trade Devontae, sign Julio Jones, draft Treylon Burks with the first that Vegas gives you, and then just go wild. There you go. Maybe you can sign, you can sign Rasul back. There's all kinds of stuff you can do if you can clear yourself of that 20 mil.
6'3", 220 Julio Jones. Can Julio Jones replace Marquez Valdes-Scantling in that role? We'll see. Other news, Devondre Campbell signed 5 years, $10 million per, but didn't actually
technically.
Sign. Yeah, according to Rob Domofsky, so we're recording this on a Wednesday, the Packers had to get under the salary cap by Wednesday because it is officially the start of the new league year. He technically is not signed, and that worries me a little bit because technically he can switch, right? I mean, we already saw this with Randy Gregory.
And McKissick. And was there another one, or was it just him and McKissick?
I'm not sure. I know the Cowboys announced Randy Gregory, and then the Broncos' social media feed was like, hey, let's make fun of you guys for doing this. So Campbell, obviously, right, first team All-Pro this past year. He got like 50% less than Olukun, the linebacker who signed with the Jaguars. So I'm a little uneasy about him not officially, signing on the dotted line as of yet. Hopefully it goes well. I don't understand what needs to take more time, because a restructure of Randall Cobb should have been enough, right?
Yep.
Why was that not done? Because that would have been probably number one thing I would have done this entire offseason. Is Randall Cobb actually going to make like $8 million to come off the bench and not play special teams and honestly take up a special team spot for the team? That would suck.
There's so many different moves that are going on. So you got to wonder if maybe moves are happening right now that we're just not hearing about. And basically they didn't want to sign Devondre while they just try and situate themselves for maybe a couple hours. Who knows? Maybe while we're recording, maybe something will come out, but maybe they just need a little extra time to take care of some of these things. Because the restructure with Cobb, like, you just talked about, they're probably gonna have to go through Rodgers with anything Cobb related. That was a big stipulation, right, on him coming back. So I don't think he's gonna get cut. I feel like it's gonna be a weird, awkward, unpleasant conversation. And now that Rodgers is management, he's gotta start having some of these, huh?
Yeah. Let's talk about your buddy. How much do you love your friend, really?
How many millions of dollars do you love your friend?
Yeah. Preston Smith signed a 4-year extension. It was basically the same contract he signed back in 2019. It's not really as much money as you would think, right? It's still like a 3-year deal guaranteed. I think that's perfectly fine for Preston. I don't think he's going to see the last 2 years of that deal. To be totally honest, but
absolutely relieved he's locked in, though, because I just think that guy, even if he doesn't, his box score numbers ain't bad, but I think the value that he brings, we talked about edge setting this whole draft preview. So obviously I'm very relieved that that's not as much of a priority with him back.
Yeah. And the Packers were rumored to be active in the outside linebacker market coming into this. There were rumors about them being interested in Von Miller, who just signed what was the contract? Five years?
Von Miller. Yeah. Six years, 120.
Yeah. That's boy, for a guy of his age, already in his, borderline mid to early 30s. That's a lot. And then Uchenna Owusu signed for $10 million a year with the Seattle Seahawks. That was the other guy that they were rumored to be with. The Green Bay Packers also released Za'Darius Smith. That saved him like $16 million. He ended up signing a 4-year deal with the Baltimore Ravens today. I don't think that's a surprise. He was posting photos, on Instagram from Baltimore, all that stuff throughout the offseason. He scrubbed his whole timeline, basically, of like anything Packers related. His legacy in Green Bay is going to be weird. He had two great years, and then the wheels fell off, man. Yep. Like something went wrong. Something turned sour, and it is what it is. I mean, my buddy Nate Tice always talks about how, like, you kind of have to have like 10% of the locker room just kind of be like knuckleheads to a certain extent, just to like keep everyone fresh, basically. And this is just kind of what happens with guys who are kind of like hot-headed sometimes.
Wild card, keep you on your toes.
Yeah, but like Zadarius, what he took like the wasn't there like a weed charge? Yeah, there was a weed charge that he took to like the young guys wouldn't get busted. I mean, he was a great player on the field. They voted him a captain multiple times. It just seemed like things really turned sour this offseason when they converted his salary into a signing bonus and then essentially made 2021 a contract year for him. And he had that back injury. And then it was like, well, am I going to have surgery in a contract year? Hell no, I'm going to try to play through it. And then they pulled the plug after 1 week when he couldn't practice throughout the summer, throughout the week until, you know, leading up to game day. Didn't look right in that blowout loss against the New Orleans Saints. They pulled the plug. He went on injured reserve, ended up having back surgery, and then was only ready to come back for the playoffs. And then, you know, quickly they were out. So I understand why there was animosity toward the Packers organization there, but I don't know. Still rooting for the best for the guy. Like it just.
Oh yeah. Like I mean, he was a defensive player of the year candidate at one point, man. Like, I'm glad he still got paid too. Cause like you said, you know, his future really quickly went up in the air. Wasn't sure what's going to happen to him. So he got a pretty nice deal in Baltimore. That's where he started his career.
Mm-hmm. He was drafted in the fourth round. Yeah. They actually tried to trade for him at the deadline that last year that he was in Baltimore. So like the Packers, for whatever reason, had, you know, circled Zadarius Smith as a guy that they like really liked and thought was kind of underrated, which I thought was surprising because he only had, I think he had 8 starts his first 3 years combined with the Ravens. So it's nice to see him go back. I mean, the Ravens do this stuff all the time. I'm really not surprised that they were able to make that move. The one surprising move to me so far, Billy Turner got released. And that was one. Billy and Dean Lowry were like the two where it was like, if push comes to shove, right? Like if push comes to shove, you save money this way, but it's definitely going to hurt. They ended up releasing him based off of a physical. That stuff is tricky, dude, because physicals are a lot more subjective than I think people really realize. Like, you can kind of fail or pass anyone based off of if you like them or not. So I don't know what that situation is like moving forward. The tackle market hasn't really gone off in free agency yet. So it's nice for Billy at least to be able to be out there before all the money is spent. I guess the big thing with the tackle market right now is Teron Armstead is at the top of it. And he's waiting to see if the New Orleans Saints are able to bring in Deshaun Watson. So once Teron Armstead signed somewhere, I would expect there to be, you know, a domino effect with the rest of the tackle market.
Oh, yeah.
We'll see Billy somewhere. I honestly, Denver needs a right tackle. Like, he would be a great fit to go with Hackett.
I was hoping for Cincy, although they signed a guard, correct? Or have they signed a right tackle yet?
I can't remember if they signed a tackle.
I think they signed, did they sign Kappa?
They signed Kappa and Karras. Yeah. They signed Kappa and Karras.
Yeah, man. Shoot. Get Billy Turner on that offensive line. I'd root for him.
Yeah,
it's kind of hard not to root for Cincy.
Yeah, because they still need a right tackle. Because that's tough. Yeah, they got to do it. I mean, their right guard situation, the right tackle situation is bad. Oh, my God. I'm happy, though, that they're like, Jackson Carmen, we don't have to do 3 more years of this. Like, this might have been a bad pick. Like, let's just move on immediately. Like,
well, I will say this for the Packers losing Turner. I wonder if they think that Elton's progressing well in rehab,
right,
and they want to put him at right tackle. I will say this. I think it's definitely going to make offensive line, whether that's interior or tackle, a pretty high priority on the list for the draft.
Yeah, it definitely a lot higher than what we thought coming in, right?
Hey, that's good, though. It's a pretty solid class of offensive linemen.
So the other guys, the other news, right, Green Bay's made, they've tagged a couple players, Dominic Daphne, Jake Hansen, Randy Ramsey, Malik Taylor, all got tagged as exclusive rights free agents. And then also Alan Lazard, who was given a second round tender. So he's going to get a decent amount of money, which I don't think is a surprise. He's a number two wide receiver in the NFL right now. So nothing really surprising other than the fact that like Henry Black wasn't picked up. Like Henry Black was a guy that they played a ton in those dime sets, right? We talked about the three safety dime all throughout the year. So
he got picked apart though, man. Every time he was on the field, it was
I
tough.
Understand it, but he was out there. I understand it, but he was out there and he played a ton of special teams too. So
yeah. Does that mean it's Vernon Scott season?
Ennis Gaines is still my baby. Because I haven't really seen Scott play because Scott was hurt through the preseasons. But I got to see Ennis Gaines, and Ennis Gaines is a real – I really believe in that guy. Like, he's a solid player. I think he should have been activated. They also had what was that safety from Georgia that they had for a couple games? Spacing out on his name.
Was it a guy – Georgia or Florida?
Sean Davis.
Florida. Sean Davis, yeah.
I never saw that much of Sean Davis.
No.
But he was activated in week 14. So, but yeah, I mean, that's where the Packers stand as of right now. It'll be interesting. I mean, they do have some depth on the offensive line. Like we said, Nyman and Hansen are probably coming off of the bench as it stands right now. They obviously have guys like Van Lennon and stuff. There are some free agents. So as of now, Henry Black, I wouldn't, if they didn't tender him, I don't think he's coming back, right?
Nope.
Corey Bohorquez, there's been reports that the team just isn't going to be able to afford him. So they're going to be in the market for a new punter. I don't think they have a punter on the roster. I think they have three kickers and no punters as it stands right now. Not the best way to go about it. But, I mean, that San Diego State punter, right? Matt Ariza, like, start thinking about him maybe as, like, If you need an impact player as like a fifth round pick or something, I mean, it's going to be tougher to find one than like day one starting punter.
Yes.
Oren Burks signed with the San Francisco 49ers. Rasul Douglas. There is reporting that like they are like every day. It's like the Packers and Douglas are working on a contract and they're going to have to figure out cap space. I mean, they can't even sign Campbell yet. So like you're going to have to get this Jair contract done. Because there's really not that much left to do. Like, you can mess with Jair's contract or his cap hit, rather. You can adjust Cobb's contract, but, like, they haven't shown the willingness to do that yet. So, like, I'm not going to assume that's going to happen. There's only a few things that they could do.
I will say this. If you can keep both Devondre Campbell and Rasul Douglas, like, that is a massive win for this offseason. Because those were a couple of guys where you just, like, with the cap constraints, had to kind of assume that they were gone. So keeping two guys that were, you know, vital to the success of the defense last year, I mean, that's pretty awesome. I think you said it in the Slack. It's like three corners under contract and a linebacker. Like, we deserve this after the last decade.
Yeah, I'm not used to this at all. Like, Jair's going to be a full-time slot in nickel looks like. That's going to be so cool.
That's
like,
where he's always meant to be. It's going to be glorious.
Yeah. Lucas Patrick signed with the Chicago Bears. I don't think that's surprising. Luke Getsy is their offensive coordinator now. He was the quarterback's coach for the Green Bay Packers. He's going to be calling plays for the Bears offensively.
All my Bears friends, he's going to be an all-pro now. They're like, oh, he's so undervalued and all this
stuff. All the tweets were like, the most underrated offensive line in the history of earth. And I'm like, he is okay. And he got backup. He got swing, you know, center guard money. And that's what he is. Like he can start
three positions.
Yeah.
And he'll be fine.
The other guys that are free agents as of right now, Dennis Kelly, Kevin King, Tyler Lancaster, Whitney Merciless. I guess Chauncey Rivers now, because they didn't pick up his tender. Equanimeous St. Brown, Channon Sullivan, Robert Tonyan, and Marquez Valdes-Scantling. I'm actually kind of surprised how quiet the market for Marquez Valdes-Scantling seems to be after guys like who was it for the Cardinals guy who got signed?
Christian Kirk.
Yeah, Christian Kirk got like
$17 billion.
17 mil that can go to 21 mil. Like that's nuts. I think the thing that hurt Marquez Valdes-Scantling the most though was when DJ Chark signed a one-year contract with the Lions. That's when it was like, oh, maybe not so much money for you out there. But I also don't anticipate Marquez Valdes-Scantling coming back in any sort of way, just because if they are in the market for Douglas, there's no way that they can bring in Douglas and MVS.
Correct.
There's no way.
Yeah, I agree. I do hope MVS goes somewhere with a quarterback with an arm, just because, you know, he's a pretty good deep threat. I'll root for him wherever he goes, just because he also got, you know, he had some flashes here, but there were some times he just got really, really hammered by the fans, kind of undeservedly. And, you know,
he was always good at what he did.
Yeah.
Like, he is exactly who he's
exactly
large. He is a big guy who can fly and can block. He can't run that many routes, but that's kind of expected, right?
If you're
drafting it, he was like a fifth round pick. Like, he was a great fifth round pick for them. Like, nah, the MVS hate got to be a little bit too much for me. The big thing for me now moving forward, like, you look at the Packers roster, obviously offensive line depth has changed now that the Billy Turner move has happened. I still think, like, tight end is probably, like, one of their biggest needs, but it's a bummer that there isn't really like a high level tight end in this class, in my opinion. We already talked about them in the pass catchers class, or in the pass catchers podcast, but Trey McBride is kind of like the consensus number one right now. And I'm still not like that dude's like a third rounder. So
give me Jelani Woods out of Virginia.
He's going to be the Mercedes Lewis replacement, which would be honestly pretty cool. Like, I could live with that. The big thing to me is I think they just need a better guy for third downs, dude.
Yep.
Cause I don't think DeGuar is going to really cut it when push comes to shove. The other thing too, Daphne, if you watch that Niners game, he got worked. He really did.
Like, I was surprised. I'm surprised he got tendered. It's likely coming back.
Yeah. Yeah. That one was a little bit odd. All right, let's take it to break, and then we'll talk a little bit actually about the draft, like we promised that we were going to do. We'll talk about some off-ball linebackers who may not be relevant now because Devondre Campbell just resigned, and then offensive linemen.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out. Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries, not including...
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on. And there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
And we're back. All right. So we originally planned to talk about off-ball linebackers primarily on this podcast. We assumed that Devondre Campbell was gone, right?
Yeah, we did all this work.
He is back, but he's technically not under contract. So I feel like off-ball linebackers is still technically relevant as of now. I've only watched a couple of guys in this draft class. You've seen more than me. I just want to touch on the five that I've seen. We'll go off of that first, and then we'll talk about the other guys you like. I watched Devin Lloyd from Utah. I get it of him being like linebacker one in this class. I think he probably plays better than his numbers on the field, right? Like he ran a pretty pedestrian 40 time relative to the rest of the linebackers in the class. It's still fast overall, but all the linebackers ran fast now because they're all getting crazy training. I think because of like his level of violence and his speed and just how he anticipates stuff, he's still the top linebacker in this draft. The big thing I worry about Lloyd, and one reason why I would hesitate to spend a first round pick on him, is linebackers get banged up all the time, right? Like they're basically the defensive equivalent of running backs. If he loses a step, I really don't know if he's a starter in the NFL. Yeah. Like that is basically the argument for not drafting Lloyd in the first.
Yeah, he's not one of those guys that can be a every down, like get dirty in the trenches, especially when you guys are like running power runs and you're getting second level blocks at him. So yeah, he wins with speed and you can get around those blockers, especially on the, you know, those outside plays. So yeah, you're right. If he loses a step on that, like that kind of becomes a liability, and then he becomes, maybe he's not a liability, but he becomes just a guy.
Right. And he's from Utah. He did great, converted safety, all that stuff. I watched the three Georgia linebackers. Mind you, Georgia played in a 3-4 defense, so they had to rotate into two spots. And there was actually another one who's like even a younger guy who's getting playing time too, which is why I think it's funny. Like people bring up the Jordan Davis stuff. Like everyone at Georgia in their front rotates, dude. Like there's snaps where N'Kobe Dean, first team All-American inside linebacker, is just off the field. Like it just happens there. I think the traditional rankings of the three Georgia guys are N'Kobe Dean, Quay Walker, and Channing Tindall. I like Quay Walker.
Yeah, more. You. It's funny because I think we're higher on two different linebackers because I really like Tindall, but for just completely different reasons. And like when you brought up Quay and I went and watched him again, I was like, I see where you like him, man, especially because, you know, how many times are we going to talk about engaging with blockers? That's probably one of my favorite things about him. Yeah. Like he gets dirty on those blocks, he stacks them, and then he extends so quickly, so he keeps his chest clean. So if he needs to break away and get a tackle, which he does a lot, like he does a really damn good job of that. My problem with him, and I don't know if you noticed this, it feels like every single tackle, he's like tackling their helmet. Like, I don't think he ever tackles low.
That's fair. The thing with Quay, like he's just so built out and he's violent.
Oh, yeah. Physically awesome. Yeah.
I had a mock draft that I posted on Acme Packing Company. I had Quay, I think, drafted in like the second or third. I can't remember. I used one of like the mock draft generators to basically fill out the mock, so that then like the Packers are on the clock, who do you want to pick, and it just goes from there, so I don't have to think about like, is this player going to be there, you know, in round whatever. I could just say, hey, don't hold me accountable, like yell at Draft Network or something like that. I had Quay Walker there, and I had the measurables of comparing him to Devondre Campbell. And it's like to a T. Like he is that type of an athlete.
Interesting.
He's a violent guy, man. Like if Devondre doesn't sign that contract for whatever reason, I could be talked into taking Quay at like 28. Like I want a damn linebacker. Like I don't want to live a life without a linebacker anymore.
Especially now that we saw what happens.
Yeah,
now that
we've seen the light. I can't go back, dude. I can't go back. Like I need it. I need
how it. Awesome. What was his missed tackle percentage? Like 3? Like he did not miss tackles. It was absolutely beautiful to watch.
Yeah. The other Georgia linebacker that people like a lot more, and I understand why, he has more accolades and stuff like that, is N'Kobe Dean. My big worry with N'Kobe, he is so light. Like he was listed at like 220 at the combine. He might have played even lighter than that. Like everything is just built off of speed, and that's not to take away like anything he did on the field at the college level, but the NFL game is different, right? And we've seen so many of these guys who are like safety, like they used to call them, what were they, money backers, right? And we've seen guys like Deion Buchanan have like one good year and then just fall off of the face of the earth, like because they kind of get figured out and they're like, hey, just run directly at that guy, right? I kind of worry that N'Kobe Dean is going to be that type of dude. Like I wouldn't take him in the first. I couldn't be convinced into taking him 28th overall, but I understand why people like him. I'm just like, his style of play is so like anti-NFL that I wouldn't be paying market price for him.
Is he dealing with an injury? Because I know he didn't work out at the combine or pro day. So I'm wondering if something like that, you know, if you want to look that up. I will say I love him just because I think he's an absolute psychopath when he's on the field. I mean, he runs with his
he had surgery to his right shoulder to repair a labrum.
Okay, gotcha. Well, maybe that's why the weight's down, is he's not trying to bulk up. I'm not sure. He plays, you know, I think all of these Georgia defenders, period, play violent. There was something in the water there, man. They just like that entire mentality of all 11 players.
Dude, they're
just
taking nuts. Heads off. They do not care about their bodies at all. Like,
let me tell you, seeing it in person was my jaw dropped. Like from the first play, it's just how they engage at the snap. Like these guys are just like ruthless and fearless. The guy, they're the like linebackers. Drones. Oh, it's incredible. It was one of the greatest things I've ever seen on a football field in person. And I will be able to stay until the day I died. I saw that Georgia defense live and it was freaking sweet.
Yeah. I mean, I know a lot of people in the college football realm have kind of talked about it, but like in the same way we talk about that, like Joe Burrow LSU team as like the best offense people have ever seen at the college level. Like
that Georgia defense. Yeah.
Yes. Like that the equivalent of that defensively is this Georgia defense. And the third linebacker is Channing Tindall. He came off the bench for Georgia for the most part, but like was in a healthy rotation at linebacker. Yep. It's not like he was just like not seen until fourth quarters or anything like that. He's the little hunchback runner. Like he definitely runs like hunchback. It's kind of odd. He again is another violent guy. He's not as big as Quay. I don't think he's as violent as Dean, but like he plays special teams very well, even to the point like that was something that like stood out like in the actual like Senior Bowl game. He was just lighting people up on special teams. I think that's kind of where he's going to get his looks early on. And that's nothing wrong. Like, I think he's probably like a third, fourth round pick to me in terms of value. That is probably going to be on special teams, be a high level special teams player early on. And then basically work into a rotation. I just worry about he's kind of stiff. And
he is. Yeah.
That's not really something you ever want your linebacker to be.
Yeah, he's a straight line guy that just kind of like shoots through gaps. And I mean, I was just about it just because it was fun to watch, right? Like he was an exciting player because the explosiveness and play speed were absolutely there. He was probably smart not to do agility scores at the combine, probably saved him a little money. When I was thinking about it, I was like, let's say they do get like a true, you know, a Devondre that stays and you have a guy like that. Like I don't mind a guy on like the weak side coming, you know, speeding through gaps across the formation, trying to, you know, get the ball carrier in the backfield. So that was kind of the role I envisioned for him. And then, like you said, special teams, you know, when you're on punt team, you know, you don't need the most wiggle if you're just trying to fly down the field and either force a fair catch or, you know, hit the guy at the catch point.
Right. And then Brandon Smith from Penn State was the guy
I like this one.
You really like.
Yeah.
I watched him. I was a decent fit. I had like a third round grade on him.
Yeah.
Were you higher on him?
Oh, no. I mean, we're on. I have him at 58. So, I mean, I have him just like a day two grade. But I mean, actually, no, hold on. 56. I have a top 50 grade on him, actually. But it's the very tail end of it. Just the athleticism. I just see him as like a ball of clay that you can mold and just turn into something special. Because I'm impressed with, you know, the competitive toughness. I like how he tackles. Like when he tackles, he's pissed. The problem is he whiffs all the damn time. So I think the technique is a real issue as far as the tackling. But you can see like there's awareness there and size. I mean, what is he? He's 6'3" and a half and 250. He's a big boy. Yeah. And
there's not very many big guys in this draft class at the position.
Yeah. I mean, he's in the 95th, 97th percentile. I mean, his RAS right now is 9.99. And that's pending bench and agility scores, but like just freakish athlete. And you know, I just get excited about the true athletes that have size like that at linebacker. Because, you know, with the right coaching, I think a guy like that has some upside. But because of the whiff tackles and, you know, some stuff like that, didn't love. That's why I'm a little lower on it. Or I guess I'm higher on them than you. But, like, I'm not putting that guy in the first round just because you can see the things that are not, you know, effective or the things he struggles with. But the athleticism and size was pretty evident on tape.
I think the top off-ball linebackers I didn't end up watching just because time constraint, free agency, all that stuff. Been a hectic week, right?
A little bit.
Were Christian Harris from Alabama and Chad Muma from Wyoming, who I know have both of them have a lot of fans. I know Muma is a guy who is very athletic. Are there any other guys that like you really liked in this class that we, you know, outside of the five that we talked about?
Muma is a fun one. He reads his keys really well. Like he really trusts his eyes and then he gets after it. The one I might go on a little rant, but Troy Anderson is one I want to know more about because I think it's fascinating. You got this great athlete that played quarterback and running back at Montana State and then just like, oh, I'm going to play a year at linebacker and be freaking awesome at it. But where I get pissed is all these guys that are like claiming to have grades on him. Yeah, I couldn't find anything to watch on the guy. He played at Montana State. Who are these people on Twitter that have grades on this guy? Did you watch the 1.5 minute YouTube video? Like, that doesn't tell you anything. I couldn't find anything to watch on this guy.
People are lying. I can get you Montana State film.
Do I want to watch Montana? Yeah, I do. I do, just for the sake of this. I'm very interested.
I watched North Dakota State film for Christian Watson because I was like, let me see what you're actually about. And then his highlight tape, Christian Watson is the guy where it's like the highlight tape is amazing. And then you watch the actual film and you're like, ah, not really creating separation, are you? Like,
and you're not on the field for everything, are you?
I see why your second clip on your highlight was that end around, like stuff like that. Offensive line wise, the Green Bay Packers obviously value offensive linemen in a very specific way. The way that they've done it for since Ted Thompson has been here, right? An above average shuttle, an above average three cone, right? Some sort of tackle background or center. Like they're not drafting guards. They're just simply not going to do it. The guys in this draft class who tested with the shuttle and the three cone early on in the draft, Trevor Penning from Northern Iowa, he's the giant guy who's a bully who like tried to start fights at the Senior Bowl, basically.
Almost ended Desmond Ritter's career by throwing a guy into his legs.
Right. Zion Johnson from Boston College, who is probably going to be a first-round guard at this point.
I love Zion Johnson.
Yeah. Yes. He has some experience bouncing around outside of guard, but he's probably going to end up sticking at guard at the NFL level. Think of, like, his background kind of as, like, Elton Jenkins, I guess. Like, Elton Jenkins was a guy who was probably always going to be a guard prospect. And I guess maybe now he's going to kick out to tackle, but he had experience at tackle for a while at Mississippi State. Bernhard Reimann from Central Michigan. I know people have compared to like Eric Fisher, but like, I don't know how much I haven't seen him personally. So I don't know how much of that is just like, hey, Central Michigan tackle, former tight end. Like yeah. People just doing that.
Zion Johnson's the one that's interesting to me. I think he goes to like Dallas or someone early. I don't know if he's going to make it to Green Bay, but if he was on the board and Green Bay took him, I would be absolutely thrilled. I think he's probably arguably one of the best run blockers in this draft class. You know, one of the things I really liked at the Senior Bowl is he didn't have a lot of experience at center, but they asked him if he could play some center. And I'm pretty sure he played it, you know, the whole week and he actually did pretty damn well. Reimann, I really like just because for a guy that had spent barely any time playing tackle, his pass sets were clean. Like his footwork was impressive. I asked him about that at the combine and he was talking about how much he worked on it and how awkward it was at first to be like, you know, your initial reaction off the snap is to go forward and attack and cut on routes to be like, now I have to go backwards on these pass plays. He seems like a good kid, but I mean, like the tape is, I liked him more than Penning. Honestly, everyone likes Penning because of the highlight tapes. But like Reimann is just so damn reliable on those pass pro. And I think he can be a pretty stud left tackle.
One guy who's probably like a late day two pick that I saw was Abraham Lucas at Washington State. Mm-hmm. They played in a really interesting offense. So they played in like a old school, like run and shoot that got like moved to the pistol basically. So a lot of half rolls, a lot of like interesting, pass protection concepts. For the most part, that's what they're doing, right? Like they're just throwing the hell out of the ball, but it's not like air raid stuff. He is incredibly smart. Like when we talked about,
oh yeah,
you know, throughout the year, Boyce Newman, right? Like having issues on stunts and stuff like that. That is like not who Abraham Lucas is. Like Abraham Lucas is,
I have that written down as well. Yeah,
dude, he is amazing at, like, to the point that there's little clips of Washington State, like, so he's their right tackle, right? The right side of Washington State's offensive line handling a stunt. And then after they like dirt the guys on a stunt, they like high five each other and like run downfield to like get back to the ball. And I'm like, holy crap. Like this guy is just very comfortable in pass protection. I think he's a guy who, if available in like the third or something, like that could be who the Packers kind of take. Because all the other guys, Penning, Johnson, Ryman, like those guys are guys that we expect to go in the top 40, I would say, if not the first, if not the first round, the top 40.
Yeah. Lucas, I like a lot. Even when he, like, his first move is inside off the snap on a pass for, like, I think he does a nice job getting out. I think against, like, some of the more athletic speed rushers, he can struggle, like, around the edge. The thing I had on him that concerned me the most was his anchor. Like, I don't think his anchor is particularly good in that kind of way.
Well, he's not a very big guy. But, like, that's one thing. The Packers have kind of cornered that market for a while where the, you know, guys like Bakhtiari, I mean, that was the rap on Bakhtiari coming out, right? Where people said, like, he's going to have to play center because his anchor isn't good enough and he's too small. And then he ends up playing left tackle at a
level. Turned out okay. I think other than those guys, the only other one I watched, just because we were talking about guys that met like Packers thresholds, it was Logan Bruss out of Wisconsin, mostly because Tex and I had talked a lot about him at the combine, and I didn't like
watching. Archon is a big fan about him too. He's already said Bruss is starting for the Packers week one. Somehow.
I didn't like him, man. I think it's because I was watching him at right tackle, and like the things he did well made sense for a guard, like as a puller in space and at the second level, like he can get there quick. The problem, he doesn't lower his pads on some of these blocks at all. He doesn't launch himself into blocks. I literally watched, I think, two or three plays where he's pulling, he gets to a linebacker, and then he just kind of like lets the guy hit him when he's standing straight up. Like his idea is like, I'm just going to run at this person and then the job is done. Like you don't see him lowering into it and blocking. So I had a real issue with that. I think he watches the ball and kind of like reacts to that off the snap, which I don't like seeing because, you know, you want a guy that can get off a little quicker. Yeah, the leverage battle thing is just the biggest issue for me. I thought the paddle, like he's really got to clean that up, especially when you're polling, man. Like we really need you to, you know, open some space, and I didn't see it.
The one guy everyone says is like the most Packers pick of all time, if that happens, is Zach Tom, the guy out of Wake Forest.
I've been hearing about this.
I haven't seen him. I'm gonna end up watching, because I think we're probably done with looking at the draft and having the draft talk pods about specific position groups, because now we've hit all the major ones that the Packers should be looking at, depending on if Rasul does end up re-signing with the Packers, right?
You don't want to do a punter pod?
It's just draft Ariza.
Let's talk an hour about Ariza.
It's just draft Ariza. The guy has 80-yard punts consistently. Do it. So I'll probably watch Zach Tom in the coming weeks. I like that Wake Forest offense anyway. They do like RPOs that are like slow is the best way to like explain.
Oh, yeah, like the extended mesh point stuff. It's super weird,
dude.
Yeah.
It's very weird. It's certainly a watch offensively. So I can't wait to break down their film. The other guys that qualify as of now, again, these are only guys who ran both the shuttle and the cone at the combine, and there were actually a good amount of offensive linemen who did it, but you know, obviously there's going to be more with pro days and stuff. Alex Lindstrom from Boston College, Cole Strange from Tennessee Chattanooga, Cade Mays from Tennessee. I have no idea how to say this name. Nick Zakelj from Fordham, Luke Wattenberg from Washington, Dawson Deaton from Texas Tech, and Zach Thomas from San Diego State. So we got a Zach Tom and a Zach Tom, or yeah, we got a Zach Tom and a Zach Thomas. That's
not confusing.
No, not at all. I'm sure I won't mess that up.
There's also a Cam Thomas.
Oh no, too many.
And I think Zach and Cam played at the same school. Are they both San Diego State guys?
Oh, Zach is apparently. So I guess we'll see about that. I'm probably going to watch film on these guys and give a recap for the next draft talk.
We should do just an hour guys pod, like guys we like.
Okay. Yeah. That's cool with me. That works for me. No more Quay Walker talk. I've already talked about him on multiple
podcasts. Man, if you want to talk more Quay Walker, you can. I'm not mad about it.
Look, all I'm saying, if things turn south with the Devondre Campbell deal, it's time. It's time to bring Quay home. Don't let him take that G off his helmet. Just recolor it.
How fast do you run to the podium if Jordan Davis is there at 28?
So Jordan, I don't like the fit with him and Kenny, honestly.
I don't even care. I just want to see him in a Packers.
I get it. Yeah, I get it. I do think it's kind of interesting, though, that like the nose tackle market was very active in this draft or in this free agency class. So, like, I don't know if he's going to go as high because, like, a lot of teams, like the Chargers, right? The Chargers already signed two defensive tackles in this free agency class. So, like, a lot of the teams that, like, had the need to draft a guy like Jordan Davis, you know, in the mid first round or whatever, are no longer having that massive need. So where does it go from here is kind of an interesting one.
Just kick Kenny out, man.
He can play three.
Yeah, he can play three.
He can do it. We asked for it, right?
Didn't we see him play some five or some four eye on third downs too?
Yeah. No, we asked for it on what was it? The first like two games of the season, he was playing like nose exclusively. And we were like, please kick him out to three technique, get him one-on-one with the guard.
He can play three.
Have him pin his ears back, and he was able to do it. So I get it. We'll see what this ends up looking like, I guess, on draft day. But we'll have an Our Guys pod next time. Anything else you want to add?
No. I'm ready for dinner, man.
Let's go. Eat it up. What are we eating tonight?
Well, you know, I obviously work at a food delivery company by day in account management, and that specific delivery company screwed me over before the pod. So I'm not going to say the name of it. People that know me well enough can connect the dots, but it was not a great way to start right before podcasting, starting hangry. So
it's better than I'm eating right now because, buddy, the past couple of days have been tough on your boy. I bought like the you know, like the Tyson chicken patties.
Yep.
So I got like a bag of those and then like an 8-pack of like buns. And I've just been like throwing shit in the air fryer. Like just like, all right, this is what I'm doing. If I'm hungry, I do this. Then I write and just refresh my Twitter feed.
Body is a temple.
Yeah, I'll try to figure that out.
Pinch of karma coming up. Let's go.
Offseason doesn't start for us until the offseason detox doesn't start for us until
okay. after the draft. I do have one more thing to bring up. Did we get a break at all from football since the Super Bowl ended?
No.
No, it not even a little bit.
Rodgers watch. Rodgers watch literally just ended, like just physically ended.
And it was like combine and like, and I was like, the week in between combine and free agency, we're going to get a break. Nope. It was Russ trade. Was Wentz trade? No, well, not Wentz trade. There was a couple of things. Rodgers news, Brady. I don't know.
Yeah.
Honestly, it's all a blur.
A lot of things.
As soon as the draft's over, take a deep breath and cry.
Absolutely. Gonna take a, gonna hang out on a pond or a lake by a mountain for like a week. Is definitely my plan. All right, guys. Keep it locked into the feed. We'll have more stuff throughout the week. Keep an eye out on free agency. Hopefully Devondre Campbell signs this contract at some point and Russell Douglas comes back. Fingers crossed.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.